An audio excerpt from The Curse of the Neverland by Lindy MacLean, read by the author. Chapter 11. Foiling Fitch. The flight back to Seattle was ever so much better than being hauled butt-first to the Neverland. Laden with pixie dust, the longboat soared through the air, light as a feather. Pip used her oar as steering rudder when directed, to keep the boat headed in the right direction. It needed only a very light touch. Her pink blanket with its no skull and crossbones symbol fluttered in the breeze atop the small mast. Belle's steady light beckoned from the bow. The fairy wore a black dress tonight and perched on the boat's prow rather than flying. Piper cleared her throat.
Are you sure you aren't going to a concert or something? You look so formal.
Belle looked at her like she was crazy.
No, she said. It's camouflage.
Coughing to disguise her laugh, Pip thought it would take a lot more than a black dress to camouflage the pixie's bright light. Not that she'd say it to Belle. Unlike the camouflaged firefly, Pip wore the same old sweatshirt and jeans she'd escaped in. She wanted to talk to Belle about making a set of clothes more fitting to her new position, being Piper Pan, but it hadn't been the right time. Generous as she'd been, the old fairy had more than a bit of a chip on her shoulder. Asking for anything wasn't the easiest thing in the world. Not to mention her wardrobe ran much further to the super feminine end of fashion than Pip liked. She didn't want to end up dressed in a forest green ball gown. Relaxing for the moment in contentment, Piper thrilled at the lights, textures, and shapes unfolding before her. She felt warmer than last time, and the air, instead of burning her nose with cold, smelled faintly sweet, a bit like apple pie. The world out here amazed and delighted her. The feeling helped balance the dread of returning to Fitch's foster home. She kept telling herself she'd be there to free her merry band, but dread of rejection, fear of being laughed at, and terror of having to return to the Neverland with no backup team at all kept souring her stomach. Approaching Seattle's nighttime skyline was incredible. The view banished her nerves, if only temporarily. Once, long ago with her parents, Pip remembered riding one of the Washington State ferries at night toward downtown Seattle. The city lights reflected in the water of Puget Sound had been a sight to behold. Seattle from the sky was twice as good. Beaming faintly through the mist, the light seemed to be reflected not only by the surrounding water, but also by the cloud cover. The fuzzy glow almost made the place look warm and friendly. Pip had to smile. Only someone from Seattle could say mist looked friendly. The moist air refreshed her face. She didn't even mind that she was kind of soggy by the time they circled the Space Needle, swooped over Lake Union, and cut over the humming freeway to Capitol Hill. Tension grew in her tummy as they neared the foster home. They'd made a plan. Time would tell if it would work. Most of the buildings in this rainy city had pitched roofs, either slight or more extreme. The foster home was an exception. The tar-covered roof lay just below them, flat as a pancake. Probably leaky as a sieve as well, Pip thought ruefully, but it made for a perfect landing place for the longboat. Belle jumped off the prow while they were still airborne. Pip watched her bring the boat behind her to a halt with a touch of her tiny hand. The ferry descended, and the boat followed. They landed with a bump. Pip climbed out, stowing her oar in the hull with the others. She tiptoed to the roof's edge. Belle flew alongside. They walked all the way around the rooftop, scoping out the lay of the land below. Pip was looking for obvious changes since she left with Belle. Sure enough, on the cement stoop at the front of the house, someone sat in a lawn chair, umbrella propped to keep off the wet night air. A security guard.
"We need to find out if he or she is armed," Pip whispered.
She wore her dagger tucked through her belt, but she hoped not to have to use it. Somehow, the idea of wielding it against a regular person felt different than planning to slay pirates with it in the Neverland.
"All right. Can you climb down?" Belle asked. "I'm out of pixie dust. I can't fly you, even by the belt loop." "Sure I can. The fire escape is over there."
Pip gestured toward one side of the house. She'd seen it that first day when Miss Henning brought her. It passed in front of what she was pretty sure was Fitch's bedroom window, making it a bit tricky. Of course, the old biddy had arranged things so the emergency escape was on her side of the house and not the orphan's.
"Meet you at ground level," she said to Belle in a low voice.
Carefully, she eased herself over the roof's edge, grabbing the cold ladder. Simple enough. She descended, past the attic. Her foot reached from the last rung to the landing's iron grating. Busy peering down at Fitch's window, she miscalculated the distance. She landed with a metallic thump. Regaining her balance, she flattened herself against the house's wet siding, hardly daring to breathe. She stared at the window just below. No movement. A siren shrilled and Piper froze. She prayed Fitch hadn't made a 911 call. The station was seconds away by patrol call. They'd never pull off the rescue if police or firemen came. The siren faded. She breathed a sigh of relief and got ready to move again. Crossing her fingers, she tiptoed across the landing and onto the section of ladder that would take her past Fitch's windows. She silently counted each step down. 1, 2, 3.
"What in the name of the dragon is taking you so long?"
Belle's loud whisper came from behind. Pip jumped and half-turned. Her dagger clanged against iron. Fitch's window loomed beside her. She couldn't stop now. Down, down she moved, trying to keep quiet, but too scared to slow down. The ladder ended 6 feet above the ground. Pip jumped, landing in a crouch. Scurrying to the front corner of the building, she ducked under the low branches of a huge rhododendron, ignoring the sting as its branches scraped her back. She looked up and thought she saw the flash of a white nightgown in the window.
"Why'd you scare me that way?" she hissed at Belle.
The fairy shrugged as if she didn't care. Pip made a disgusted noise. "All right then, Miss Know-It-All. Did you see if the guard is armed?" Belle nodded.
"A holstered gun and a little black thing on his belt. He looked like he might be napping, though."
"Little black thing, little black thing," Pip thought hard. "Oh, that's probably a cell phone. We'll have to get that, too." The foster home faced a city park. Like any park in a big city, sleeping bodies of homeless people littered the benches and filled semi-dry nooks. Any one of them might be alarmed by her night prowling. She took some small comfort in the thought that most of those slumbering forms were probably drunk. Tonight that would be helpful. They wouldn't be easily woken. One of the city's water supply reservoirs lay fenced in the middle of the park. During daylight hours it had an aesthetic purpose. The center spurted water in the air, a poor substitute for a fountain. At the moment, it would be a great spot to hide the security guard's weapons.
"If I get his gun and his phone, can you drop them in the water over there?" Pip asked. "That should take only a fleck of pixie dust. I can manage."
"Did you bring the sleeping potion?" Belle nodded, pointing to a tiny seashell stoppered with a bit of sea sponge hanging around her neck. The spiders had woven the necklace to order. Pip didn't know where Belle got the potion, but Belle said it worked like a dream. Only one or two drops on a person's lips put them into a deep sleep for a couple of hours. "Great. You apply the potion, I'll get his weapons." Together, they worked their way around the rhododendron. The guard sat in the dim circle of the porch light. His head dropped slowly, then snapped up and repeated itself. Good. He was already sleepy. Pip gestured Belle forward. She followed in a low crouch, staying close to the building. Pip saw the front room light go on. Duck! She flattened herself against a tall, skinny evergreen shrub. The window curtains pulled back and a face peered out. It was Fitch. Darn it, she'd woken the old biddy. Pip suppressed a groan. After several seconds, Fitch disappeared. Was she coming outside? Pip waited, expecting to hear the creak of the front door and Fitch's cranky voice at any moment. The sharp, clean scent of crushed evergreen needles filled her nostrils. She didn't dare wipe the drip of water forming at the end of her nose. Nothing happened. She couldn't wait forever. Pip stepped out from her hiding place, trying not to make the bush rustle. Belle's light twinkled from under the seat of the lawn chair. She noticed that the angle of the guard's umbrella hid his upper body from the lit window. Pitch hadn't seen the man's head. If she'd caught him napping, she'd be out here now for sure. Go, Pip whispered. Belle's light flashed out from under the chair. Waiting a moment, Pip crept up the concrete slab and knelt behind the guard.
I dosed him. He should be out in a second or two, Belle whispered, shoving the stopper back in the seashell.
Carefully, Pip reached for the man's holster. Gripping the butt of the gun, she eased it out. Leaning to his other side, she went for the cell phone snapped to his belt. Getting it was more difficult. The guard grunted. Pip froze. But the guard's breathing returned to its thick and steady rhythm, rumbling into a snore. Pip quickly set the cell phone beside the gun. As soon as you get rid of those, I'll need your help. Belle shook her hair over the phone and gun. Pixie dust shimmered, and they floated up beside her, three times her bulk. As Pip watched, the fairy's light flitted through the air and hovered over the reservoir's dark water. The satisfying sounds of two splashes followed. Pip noticed a soft wool scarf loosely knotted at the sleeping guard's neck. Borrowing it, she draped it around her own neck. It might come in handy later. Belle reappeared at Pip's side.
That was fun. What's next?
We've got to get inside. I've no idea how. Everything is locked up tighter than a stuck lid. Pip's whisper rose in agitation. She ticked off the problems on her fingers. The guard doesn't have house keys. Fitch probably didn't trust him to carry any. I could maybe break into Fitch's bedroom or even the door on the roof to the attic, but I can't get back up the fire escape without someone to give me a boost. And Fitch is awake in there. Maybe she already called the cops, she said, spreading her arms in a frustrated shrug. Belle cocked her head for a moment.
Not yet, she hasn't. No sirens. How's your arm?
Huh?
Can you throw pretty well?
Sure I can. Pip opened her mouth, ready to defend her pitching skills, but Belle cut her off.
Get some pebbles and come on.
She whirled around the corner to the north side of the house.
Of course, throw pebbles at the girls' dormitory. They didn't have time to track down Fitch and dose her with a potion. They had to risk it. Go straight to freeing her merry band.
Pip sped to the gravel driveway and gathered a handful of pebbles, half crouching. She darted toward a spot below the dorm window, as close to the neighboring house as possible.
Ping!
She hit the window on her first try, but it took three more pings before a bleary-eyed face appeared. Flim and Flam shared the bunk nearest the window. It must be one of them.
Belle's light gleamed outside the window.
The face inside plastered itself against the glass to better see the magical creature. Belle backed up, gesturing for whomever it was to open up. Hands fumbled with the latch, and it ground open. Pip winced. Old, loud, wooden windows. Luckily, no screens or storm windows to contend with. A child's arm reached out toward the pixie, followed by a head and torso.
Hey, Flim, or are you Flam?
Pip whispered as loud as she could.
Kay?
The twin looked down.
I'm Flim. Pipsqueak, is that you? Where have you been? No time. Drop down the fire escape ladder for me.
Having to meet the city's building code, Fitch had secured a rope ladder to the bunk bed closest to the window. It was a flimsy thing. Pip had a vision of the night not so long ago when she'd climbed down it on her way to the university bridge. Unattended, it would make the metal bed drag to the window, and Fitch would be on them in seconds. the rope ladder piled up in the window, falling out when Flim shoved it.
"Hold on to the bed!"
Pip reached up for the bottom of the rope. She had to walk herself up the wall, pulling with her arms before she could cradle a foot in the first step.
"Get off!"
Flim hissed.
Pip jumped back to the ground. "I can't hold the bed!"
Flim leaned out, eyes wide.
"Wake up Pudge and your twin. The three of you can do it."
Pip waited what seemed an eternity. She sent up prayers that Pudge would cooperate without opening her loud mouth, and that Flim and Flam wouldn't get distracted and start some poking, giggling game. Finally, she got a thumbs-up sign from above. Pip started climbing again, ignoring the swinging motion, moving as fast as she could. When she got up to the window, Pudge's hand reached out and pulled her in.
"Thanks,"
Pip panted. She bent to catch her breath, sighting Belle hovering under a bunk bed.
"What's going on?"
Pudge spoke, but Flim and Flan leaned in for the answer as well.
"Where have you been? What's the big idea expecting us to save your sorry butt?"
Pip shook her head.
"No time now."
She saw Pudge take a breath to argue and broke in before the big redhead could object.
"Look, you hardly know me and have no reason to trust me, but please, I can get all of us out of here. Please, just this once, do this without asking questions. Get your packs and wake the others."
As she spoke, Pip pulled the hem of her floppy sweatshirt away from her body and subtly beckoned to Belle to hide under it. She knew the fairy held her sleeping potion at the ready. Soon the foster girl stood in the center of the room, sleepy and disheveled, school packs slung on their backs.
"Do you have any clothes in there or just school books? Because you won't need school books where we're going."
Most of the girls pulled books out, piling them on bunk beds. Midge made a face.
"What if I want a book along?"
"Fine." Pip kept glancing toward the door, expecting Fitch at any moment.
"Bring what you want. Just be sure you've got something to wear besides pajamas. And put on your shoes, okay?" "Mrs. Fitch bakes us scary of clothes in our packs,"
Stinky whispered.
"She says we should always be prepared."
"Huh," Pip gave a half laugh. Seemed like Fitch was helping them out in her own way.
"Are we coming back?"
It was one of the twins. "I hope not," Pip said. "Not if you trust me and do what I say. I'll get you out of here, I swear." The promise of liberty seemed to convince them to do as she said.
"Fitch alert,"
Midge warned. Footsteps sounded outside the dorm room.
"When she comes in, help me rush her back out into the hallway."
Pip just had time to ask before the door opened. The girls sprang at the entering form, small weights in the dark, hurtling against the skinny old broad. Fitch staggered backward, falling on her rump. Delighted, Pip leapt, pulling the scarf from her neck and shoved it into the foster mother's mouth, gagging her.
"Belle?"
The tickling inside her shirt told her the fairy was still there.
"Time to dose Fitch. On three."
The woman's eyes widened to twice their usual size when Belle flew out from the neckline of Pip's shirt and squawked when the fairy stood on her chin. The lifers gasped at the bright creature as well.
"Holy," Pudge began. "One, two, three."
Pip whipped the scarf off Fitch's mouth and Belle zipped in, seashell poised. When the pixie finished, the scarf went right back on.
"Just until she falls asleep," Pip said.
She had to admit, she kind of enjoyed the terrified look in Fitch's eyes. Just a little payback felt good.
"Everybody, we're dragging her to her room."
They struggled, trying to pull her back down the hall by her arms, rending grunts and groans from their victim.
"Let's try by her feet."
Once they'd conquered the challenge of swiveling a tall woman in a narrow hall, the going was easy.
"Do we have to lift her into bed?"
Stinky asked.
"Nah, this is good enough."
Pip looked at Fitch. She slept soundly now, even spread as she was on the hard wooden floor. Her flannel nightgown bunched up at the hips from her hallway trip. Pip tugged it down a little and removed the gag.
"Why are you bothering?"
Pudge asked, scornful. Pip shrugged. It didn't seem right to leave her all akimbo, even for Fitch.
"We're getting out of here now, guys," Pip said. "I saw a door on the roof. How do we get to it?"
"Follow me," Midge said.
Pandemonium ensued, but by moving with the general hubbub, Pip found herself walking up creaky old stairs to the attic and to the rooftop doorway. Unbolting it, Midge threw it open to the cool night air and stepped onto the roof. The girls poured out, all talking at once. Pip waved her arms in the air, trying to get their attention.
"Hey, please, we're not safe yet,"
she pointed to the boat.
"Everybody in. Two to a bench. Stow your packs and grab an oar."
They looked at her like she was crazy. Pudge walked around the boat.
"Are you nuts? Of all the cock-eyed idiot things!"
Stinky was the first to do as Pip asked. She shoved her pack under her middle bench, grabbed an oar, and looked up expectantly. Midge shook her head.
"Well, here goes nothing."
She joined Stinky.
"Come on, Pudge," she directed. "Flim, you get in front, Flam in back."
I know," she said, when the twins looked alarmed at not sitting together.
"Pudge, be a sport. Sit up front with one of them. Zonk and..." "Hey, where's Zonk?"
"We're missing Thumb, too," Pudge said, scowling. She did as Midge asked, though. Pip led the other twin to the back bench, keeping one reassuring hand on her shoulder as she took her own place in the stern.
"We'll pick them up from the dormitory window."
"Shove off, everyone, like this," Pip demonstrated, pushing the end of her oar against the roof. The boat rose into the air. Oohs and ahs followed from the girls.
"Holy," Pudge said,
for the second time in a handful of minutes.
"Row, everyone, all together."
Pip steered with her paddle as they swished into the gray dark of the city sky. The girls pulled air until they bumped broadside against the open dorm window. Pip climbed inside, searching until she found the culprits. Zonk had fallen back asleep. No surprise there. The girl had seemed like she'd never wake up, given a choice. Leaning over Zonk, Pip saw Thumb nestled beside her.
"Wake up, Zonk!"
Pip shook the girl hard. She was too big to carry. Eyes slowly opened, and with urging she rose, moving like a sleepwalker. When she climbed through the window and joined the twin on the back longboat bench, she smiled as though still dreaming. Pip shuffled through the two remaining backpacks, pulling out books, shoving in shoes, and the clothes she found under the bed. She tossed the packs to Stinky and Midge, who stowed them wherever they could find space. Lifting Thumb, Pip settled the still-sleeping little girl low in the bow. She pushed the boat forward until she could climb in the stern once again. She signaled to Belle, who flew ahead, yanking them all in her wake.
"Here we go, girls! To the Neverland!" Piper shouted at full voice, not caring who heard. "Second star to the right and straight on till morning!"
She imagined they made quite a sight paddling their longboat through the mist-laden sky, pink no-pirate's flag and all.